You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold. Guys, welcome to my sexy podcast on this chilly March day. March, not barch. Guys, we've got a great episode. It's gonna be good. This sound effect was actually requested by Dana, one of our number one fans of My Sexy Podcast. We're gonna catch up with her, find out who she is. Is she an 18-year-old shopping for a prom dress? Like my other fan, Vera. Shout out to Vera. Boo, boo, boo! Experimenting with real life, real sound effects from my mouth, as well as a guest that I have a friendship crush on. You know how those crushes go. You like them. You want them. You really, actually the rule with them is you shouldn't say it to their face that you have a friendship crush because it puts too much pressure. Every single thing you say, then they're like, oh God, am I going to be trapped trying to shuffle this person out of my life? Just going on one coffee date every month till I just peter out slowly, just forget to answer texts. She was recently on Broad City. Andrew is actually a huge fan of Broad City and has, I think, late in the night tweeted at me being like, give me Alana Glazer.
I didn't say give me, but I said if you could help
if you could help me. But what does helping mean? This is the thing with fame, man. I mean, people are sexy and then they're famous and then it's like too much sexy. But let me just introduce my guest so that she can start piping up, piping in and piping down, which is also the name of her book, JK. She's a master at being so funny, so likable on stage, as well as producing really fun shows. She produces a show with her real life father, guys. Her real life father. Hold on. Real life father sound effect. Yeah, only God can judge your father. It's called Punderdome 3000 at Littlefields. It is a monthly, check it out, Mondays on WFMU is the way to blend two credits into one, but Mondays at WFMU is a different thing, and that is a show called the Dr. Game Show. So, God damn it, just welcome her to the studio, Joe Firestone!
Hey!
Oh my God, what a controversial sound clip to follow up. Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow, that was really a great introduction. Thank you.
It was a long time. You know, I like to do a little spiel off the top, you know, a little spiel to Goggin. But then you realize you're just rudely talking while you've invited an interesting person to sit across from you. And while you're like, well, the streets are full of Canada's Goose jackets, aren't they? If it's not that, it's something more expensive. I mean, where do people get the money for these jackets? Do you have a Canada Goose jacket?
No, I wish I did.
Okay. And do you...
Are they really $400?
They're so expensive. Oh, they're more than that, I think.
Really?
Yeah. There's also $1,000 jackets.
What?
$2,000 jackets.
No.
Do you know what 1% of $1 billion is?
What? 1% of
Andrew, guess.
1% of $1 billion. Is it 1 million?
$10 million. $10 million! Because I was telling you before we rolled mics, which is shorthand for turning the microphones on and starting to record the podcast, that I performed for billionaires over the weekend.
Oh, you're really doing it right.
No, because I didn't negotiate my rate properly. I didn't realize, they said it was a charity show, and then I didn't realize that the charity was funded by these two people that have a net worth of over $3 billion.
And they didn't pay you right.
Well, no, they paid me right because they're doing good things with their money, and so it was a charity for, like, immigration reform. And it was, like, cool. My wife and I got to stay in the Whitney Estate, which is, like, the Vanderbilts and the Rockabillys. Well, not Rockabillys. What is it? Like, Rockaway. No, what is it? What is it? What is it? Rockefellers.
Rockefellers. There we go.
The richest family in New York was called the Rockabillys. Hit it, Dad! And it's you and your dad playing the Rockabillys.
Rockabilly. Rockabilly, that's the kind of music, right?
Rockabilly is a lifestyle, I think.
Yeah, that's very popular. I'm from St. Louis. It's very popular there.
No, really?
Rockabilly is like the thing to be. Ooh, ooh. Oh, yeah.
I lied to you. I said I'd be making the sound effects, but I'm back to the free sound effect drawing board.
What was that?
It's called Basketball Rim.
Oh,
if
wow.
You're looking for it. Shout out to Basketball Rim. What kind of basketball rim?
A glass one.
That is not at all associated with the basketball sport or rims in general. Rims are gentle and to be suckled on. Do you think that... Okay, this is getting wild and crazy, and soon it's going to get, you know... Watch me shift into the biographical stuff. But first, do you think that people are going to start doing rim...
Is that the new trend?
I just don't actually have the confidence or courage to go into this subject with you because we haven't talked that much, and I'm about to ask it, but because Brian Williams' daughter on Girls got her bum eaten on Girls, and then and then that was sort of a news story. I immediately regret it.
Why?
I immediately bringing this up.
Do you think it's going to be a trend?
I think things happen like that where you see it and then. You try it?
Yeah, maybe that's it, right? I mean, I guess it's just... And then you think, this woman, I'm comfortable with this woman. She's comfortable doing that.
Her dad's a news broadcaster.
Yeah.
Who's, in some dangerous heat.
It's pretty much the face of America getting a rim job.
I really rockabilly the beginning of this interview. Went straight for the bum eats. But what was your childhood like? I mean, St. Louis. You made videos as a kid.
I made videos as a kid.
Didn't you?
I did make some videos as a kid.
I mean, wasn't that so cool?
I remember I really liked to make videos as a kid. We had a VHS recorder.
And you felt like you were on the big cusp of recording things.
It's so fun because you can, with a VHS recorder, you can just record it and then put it into the VCR and play it.
Yes, right away. But then you had to edit it as you shot it, right?
Yeah, you got to rewind, then get to the point. But it's so great. What an effective form of recording.
Yeah, did you do it with friends when they came over, or was it just you and your dad?
I don't think I would have done it without my dad. I think my dad was always holding the camera.
So cool. Tell me about your dad. Because I didn't know anything about you. Then you've been so funny every time I see you. And I'm like, let me nosy into her life. Okay. And I've realized you have a show with your father.
I do.
And tell me about him. I mean, I've left the question sort of open-ended where you can talk about the show. You can talk about your dad.
Well, so he's an amateur Rodney Dangerfield impersonator.
Oh, my God. Oh, got it. Gotta get there. Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait, so when you say amateur, there's actually a picture of Rodney in our studio.
Well, he started doing it
because
someone...
Sorry to name drop, but there is a photo of Rodney Dangerfield.
Well, he started doing it because... No, keep going. I like that. I like that a lot.
Okay, yes. Lay it down underneath.
He started doing it because people kept saying he looked like Rodney Dangerfield. And he was flattered.
Yes. How flattered, Joe?
So flattered.
So fucking flattered. Tell me how he acted. Like Rodney?
I don't get no respect.
He didn't get no respect as an amateur Rodney Alphabet. ABC dog. Tell me about your DAD dog. Joe Firestone.
Oh, I love it so much. Oh, this is so
That's
good.
That's the best way that a freestyle battle should end. One person just passionately says, oh, I love it. Okay.
Oh, it's so
My
good.
Headphones did fall off.
Oh, well, so. I heard the whole thing and it was great. It was really great.
But so you grew up with a dad who wanted attention, who liked to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And then you said, that's for me.
I don't think I really did. I don't think I really was interested in doing I just did it because he'd be like, okay, we're going to make this video. And I'd be like, okay, great. And and then he had all his game show. He was a magician for a while. And
how did he make money?
He's done a lot of different things. He was a lawyer for a while, and he was a special ed teacher for a while. And then he now does motivational speaking now.
Word.
And so he's kind of he's an interesting dude. And he has all these game show pieces in his garage and in the basement. And like he...
Pieces being like tools to make a game show.
Yeah, like buzzers and bells and like sound effects t-shirts.
Oh my god, it's like my sound effect board.
Yeah, exactly.
But probably way more appropriate for every moment.
No, that was right on. I was hoping something would spring up. And it was... Yeah.
So does he still have a dream of creating a game show?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have a game show called
game
Punderdome.
Yeah.
Punderdome?
Uh-huh.
Tell me.
So it's a pun.
Dare me.
I really will.
Do tell, young lady.
It's a pun competition. And, oh, wow. What could that have been?
You guess.
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a burp and then it was a lion.
Rockabilly father are getting angry about stock returns. What is this investment happens? Oh, God, this is too not. That was not a good impression of a rockabilly father. All right. Punderdome.
Yes. Oh, it's a pun competition. And so people can come and sign up. The first 18 people to sign up get to compete. They have pun nicknames like the Punisher or Punky Brewster or like Punder and Lightning.
Yes.
And like they have all these names and then they have like
big
these followings.
Pun. Big,
big pun. Yeah.
Big. A big pun.
Big pun. Yeah. Then they
do. It's like a really meek 8-year-old girl. Any room for big pun? So that's cool. I want to sign up. I bet there's some pretty interesting people.
Yeah. There's like huge followings for each of these people. Like
whoa.
If they'll come back month after month and then they'll have these like fan bases of people that love them.
Whoa. But how long have you been doing it?
For about 3.5 or... Coming up on 4 years, I think.
And does your dad come in from St. Louis every time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And then it's cool daddy-daughter time.
Yeah, just...
Does he crash with you?
No.
He gets a hotel?
Yeah, he gets a hotel across from the venue.
Cool daddy.
No. It's like the cheapest
Everyone
hotel.
Everyone that's listening just got attracted to your father.
I tell you, you look like Rodney Dangerfield.
I mean, maybe not everybody that's listening, but I did. I was like, wow, what a guy. Getting a hotel in Brooklyn.
It's real good rates. You should check it out.
Is it? What's it called?
The Union Hotel. It's $80 a night right now.
No. Excuse me, but that sounds like too good a deal. Good deal service. Oh, God. I just can't be tamed when it comes to too many sound effects. But this is where I pull back and I say, what was the worst thing that happened in your life?
Everything.
Was there something that is the worst thing?
The worst thing that happened in my life?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, like I'll tell you something bad and then you can tell me something bad.
That would be great. Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay,
I love
so that.
So
we can get on the same level.
Because
remember
great.
At sleepovers when like one person would be like, my dad's mutilating a child in our basement. And then my secret would be like, my mom and my dad got in a fight yesterday. She was crying. Like it's a big deal of your parents crying. Cut to me crying every day, all the time for nothing. Just fully crying so much.
I cry too.
Nothing.
I cry all the time.
It's like an orgasm out of your face.
I know.
I'm sure I didn't coin that. As I said that, I imagined like a million comics on the road being like, face coming.
I know. A lot of times I'll wake up, my pillow's wet.
From tears?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you get it done at night?
Mm-hmm. At
night. In the subconscious?
Yeah, I don't. Well, usually I'm awake and then I'll go to sleep after a nice cry.
Oh,
but
got
I don't like
you.
To do it during the day. It slows me down.
You will cry yourself to sleep like a little baby?
Like a little baby.
That is too cute. I wonder how often Drake cries. You think, okay, yeah, because the hacky comment would be that he's too emotional. But I think he cries more often than most men, and I think that's good.
I like Drake.
Shout out to gender roles and busting them open and crying into your pillow. No matter what you got down there. So then, worst thing. I mean, one bad thing that happened to me as a kid was that, like, I got so much hair all over my face. All mustache, so much. 12 years old. And then I was like, is this thing for real? And then it showed me how real it was year after year, day after day. / I think it was only like I was fully rocking it for a year before everybody was basically pushing me into the electrolysis chair. JK, it was a bed. Yeah. So many years of electrolysis. That's a bad thing. That we can start on that level.
Something on that level.
A little fishy like that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Let's see. Okay, here's one, and this isn't that bad, but this is something that does haunt me from time to time. So when I moved to New York, I moved here with a boy that I was seeing, and we'd only been dating for 3 months.
Whoa!
And we moved in together after 3 months.
Did you guys cook up the idea on the first date, and then cut to it happening? Or?
Kind of, yeah. Whoa. We were kind of like, let's move to New York, let's go. We were just dumb idiots, a little young dumb idiots.
Yeah.
And then we moved here, and I had never lived with
anybody. Tell me when it was again.
This was 5 years ago.
5 years. Okay, cool.
And so I was like so nervous. Like I didn't know how to poop around somebody. I didn't know anything. Like I didn't know. There was all these things I was not prepared to do. And then
mostly poo related.
But like,
do I wrap it in a blanket and throw it out the window? Do I? That'll make it better.
But so then
hit them under my pillow.
Oh, good. So then we moved into this place that didn't have a bathroom. Okay, so we moved into an apartment that cost. It had a bedroom and a kitchen, and it cost $1,000 a month. It was a total ripoff, but it was. It
sounds like $500 a month each is great.
Yeah, but like no bathroom. So the bathroom we shared.
You heard what I said about blankets, girl.
I know.
It wasn't a joke. They are the future.
it's a fortune to keep up with these blankets.
But where do you do everything?
Well, so then we shared a bathroom.
They're all like Pier 1 import blankets. It's like the most neurotic problem.
Do you sell these in bulk? Yeah, but we share this bathroom with this guy down the hall.
You just grab the Pier 1 shipment box and you just hand over a cool $700. And you're set for a week. On the flip side, so many wonderful looking blankets draped on the homeless people in your area.
Oh, no.
Was it too much? Was it too little? You ain't never gonna find out. So no bathroom, you're in this apartment.
Yes.
And just to foreshadow again, this is something bad. We're talking about something bad.
Yeah, so it's
coming off my mustache, so.
Yeah. Well, don't you worry. It's
all
coming.
Right. You better poop a mustache soon.
So this guy that we lived across the hall from, he never left his apartment. He'd leave his apartment to go to work, but then he'd always be inside of his apartment. Like, he was there all the time. And then, and then but he wouldn't use the bathroom. He'd never use the bathroom.
Well, he would have obvious things. Well, that's what I would do. Like, to be honest, we're like joking about blankets, but like, switch out a bell jar for blankets.
Yeah, maybe he did.
A bell jar? Bell jar is a book.
Ball jar's a jar. Yeah. So he would only come, he'd go to the, so his shower stuff and our shower stuff was like both in the shower. Our shower stuff was like shampoo, conditioner,
Where
soap.
Where is this fancy shower coming from?
It's in the bathroom.
In the main floor?
Yeah, in that we shared. We shared a shower and a toilet.
Gotcha.
And his shower stuff was just a kitchen sponge.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? So, like, he's a little strange, and he would only use the bathroom
once
a week.
But he's using your accoutrements.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
I mean, that's a clear sign that eventually you've got to put, like, a little label on the Dove, on the Dove Fresh Wash. Dove Fresh Wash, the number one Dove product. Fresh Wash. Perfect with the kitchen something. What is it called? Sponge.
Sponge.
Did I get the job? I freestyle copywriting for different ad companies as
I can
well
tell.
As
I can totally tell. Pier 1 Imports.
Pier 1 Imports.
Duh.
Buy them by the bucks. Have them by the bucks. So what's going to happen?
So he would only use the bathroom once a week and for 6 hours at a time. And at the same time I moved to New York, I was very nervous. I'm nervous always, but I was very nervous when I moved to New York. I was afraid. I never left the house.
You do anxiety pills?
I didn't at the time.
You
but
do breathing.
I didn't
okay,
at the time.
Okay, cool.
And I just,
no breathing. No breathing. No pills.
Nothing. No.
Just
nothing
like
in.
A boiling,
nothing out.
Just a boiling little kettle.
Yes. Yeah, shrieked constantly. But I was like so nervous all the time, and I kind of developed like a little bit of IBS. You know, IBS?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
It goes perfect with fresh water.
It does. It really does.
And oh, that means you pooping
like all the time. Yeah. And yeah. So then it was like hour three of him, of this guy being in the bathroom. He's been in the bathroom for 3 hours one day. My boyfriend isn't home. He's been in the bathroom for 3 hours. I know it's going to be another three. And I was kind of scared of this guy that lived across the hall. He was like a little off-putting, so
yeah,
I didn't want to talk to him.
He only has one sponge.
Right,
never
so I couldn't knock
pee-pee.
On the door or anything. And so then I didn't know what to do. And so we shared a backyard with my landlord. And I didn't know what to do. And so I was so afraid my boyfriend was going to come home and it was going to ruin everything. But I didn't know. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I pooped in a bag.
Now, yes. Yes. That was like ironic boo. Because, yeah, that's what you have to do. That's the best thing to do, Joe. You did the good thing. I mean, am I jealous that it took 3 years of electrolysis to rid my equal, what you think is an equal problem? Yes, I'm a little jealous. But am I happy that I got to know you? All good booze come in threes. We're going to let go of that sound effect and let it drift on into the river of too many sounds. Okay, poo in a bag.
Yeah, it felt bad. And then I didn't know
what about, I was going to say the sink, but that's obviously not the solution. Just and then mash it down through the pipes. And just let
God.
That hot water run. Okay, well, I feel like my mustache is your anxiety.
Maybe, but I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him until we were breaking up. I told him. I was so mad at him.
Oh, cool.
I said, you know what? I pooped in a bag in the kitchen.
And it's right here.
I've been keeping it.
My ex-girlfriend did that, and I also didn't tell anyone till we broke up. I told everybody then. To tarnish her teacher-like veneer. Lost some of its polish the day the bag slipped out of the bag.
Oh, did she poop in a bag?
Yeah, she pooped in a bag. She had a roommate. It was too much. She had to go, and then she just pooped in a bag. We've got some visitors just coming in on the words pooped in a bag.
Perfect.
That's the sound of if that's the way your poo sounds when it hits a bag.
You're in trouble.
You gotta get some Metamucil.
You're in trouble.
So... The show with your dad, I was going to hit the anxiety one, but it's an interesting thing. My friend Mae Martin kind of, reminds me of you a little bit. I don't want to put too much pressure, but she is my best friend and she does have my name tattooed on her ankle.
No.
Yeah.
The full name?
My name. Yeah.
Sabrina Jalise.
Yeah. We were 17 and stoned and she was like, I want a tattoo. And I was like, I'll pay for it if you get my name. And then she did it.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a good friend.
Are the strangers gone? Okay. It's weird when you're like talking about honest things and then the strangers come and they're like doing a tour and it's like, so tell me about your anxiety. And it's like, well, I'd rather not. Let's just talk about this poop bag for a little longer. So, May also anxious. Before you go on stage, do you get anxious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then it's like kind of like a torturous thing, but it's also like a way of dealing. It's like both therapeutic and like, tell me about it.
Yeah, I think, okay. So for example, we just did a show together. You just did your
big terrific,
terrific show.
Yeah.
And I was.
Not mine, but I've been babysitting.
You've been baby. You're a very good babysitter. So I was standing in the crowd and I was getting kind of nervous because it's a bigger show for me. I feel
it's like really cool guys.
Yeah.
It's like cool dudes.
Yeah. And I feel like not very cool. And I'm like, they're going to see through me. But then I kept getting pushed. I was in the crowd and people kept pushing me and telling me to get out of the way.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, I hate this. I hate being pushed. And it gave me a little motivation to be like, what's the point in getting all worked up and getting anxious when you're just going to get pushed? And then I think I channeled it into anger.
Interesting. So the idea of people just kind of treating you sort of like a made you say like, fuck being anxious for these motherfuckers?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I was about to go on stage and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and they're like, we can't see. And I was like, come on.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm so mad. But I think that sometimes...
We can't see. You're also like 5 feet tall. who couldn't see what little penis man? Yeah, I said it, little dick, and I'm hitting it with a golf stick. I'm hitting your little, tiny, I can't see dick. Now that is a 50 Shades of Grey, I would see.
I just
2 hours of a man with a small dick being beaten.
Did you see it?
No, I wanted to.
I saw it in theaters.
Oh, you did? Well, you have to, otherwise you saw it in bootleg.
Yeah, well, right, and God forbid.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of like a goody-goody answer. You have to, otherwise you're doing something against society's will.
But so then at the end is so bad, everybody started booing.
Oh my God.
I was so happy to be in that theater.
Did they sound like this? Perfectly cute.
Yep, perfectly cute.
So did that feel good? Was that like getting pushed in a... No, that's just a different memory. But I mean, I would imagine the same girl that like gets pushed in the audience is like going to retaliate by crushing and having more confidence. Maybe he was watching 50 Shades of Grey, hearing the boo and being like, I am the next Messiah.
Very common reaction. Totally.
Very common reaction to just a regular experience.
You know, what you have to do
as an interviewer is try to connect the dots. And sometimes them dots is shaky connections. The dots vibrate and it's hard to connect them all. So is that just like your father being a game show host, as well as Rodney Dangerfield can't get respect, so neither can the movie. Okay, hold on 1 second. Can you hum a little bit? I'm gonna grab my phone.
Okay, yeah, well, I think the thing about the anxiety is I think I get anxious pretty much all the time, but then when something bad happens, then it's like, I think I'm like I feel more in control because I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about it happening. It's already happened.
Yes. But
I've done shows like right after, like one time I did a show where this guy, he brought flowers from, it was my boyfriend at the time, he threw them at me. And then I went on stage right away.
He threw the flowers at you.
Yeah.
Was this the same boyfriend?
No, this is a different boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
But he threw the flowers at me, and I was like, this sucks. What? This is the worst feeling I felt in a while. And then I went on stage. It was a great show.
Did you talk about it?
No.
You funnel the energy. So you've got the honesty of the energy that makes you... Yeah, you're really awesome. Like, you know when you... I mean, there's just... Generally, the people that I have on my podcast are just people that I like buy low, sell high on, you know, where I'm like, you're going to do it. And it's going to be pretty good to have your poop story on this podcast. I will be selling that to NBC, ABC, as well as Dove Freshen Soap.
Yep, I think we got that. Yep,
that's have been done.
Oh, no.
Oh, too much, you know, too many boos. I agree. So anxiety is lessened throughout the years of doing stand-up, is the same, or is just, I would assume it's just more controlled.
I think it's more controlled. Yeah, yeah, it's still there, but it's not like, I don't get as much like, oh, I got it. This, everything has to be, like, there's a certain point where you're like, oh, this is a show, and then there's going to be another show, and there's going to be another show. So it's like, how much can your little brain take, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have felt and do, I mean, there's a thing that comes over you like a wave in a situation that's high pressure,
mm-hmm.
like a showcase. Like, it took me years. I've been doing this since I was 16, and it took me, and like, not in the way that I do it here in New York all the time, but like, it took me, you know, the first decade or whatever. I feel like I've got a little more control in the anxiety of showcasing. But when it comes time to like showcase, I think it also just comes with you do it more and more and more, and then you realize that thing that you realize, this is a show. There's going to be more shows, and treating it as if it's like the big grand finale to your life.
Yeah.
And not doing anything during the day. You know, I would just like put all my plans aside because it would be like, my Just for Laughs audition is tonight. And so I can't talk to anyone. I can't use my voice. I can't go over my set. I'm thinking about how it's going to go.
Is yes. that surprisingly doesn't do great things.
No. And even if you do great, it sometimes doesn't pay off. So it doesn't really, nothing really matters. It's just like, you just, I don't know.
What is the most important comedy lessons from the Firestone?
Oh, boy. You know what? I think, can I tell you something?
I mean, please.
I have a secret that I like to do.
Yeah.
Where I like to start off in a way that makes people feel like I'm an idiot or like I have no, I feel like I like, I don't, it's not even I like to do this, but I start off with no confidence on stage every single time and I gain momentum and confidence throughout the set.
Oh, cool.
But I think that it makes me feel like I've won them over, even though I really don't have confidence at the beginning and I really do have confidence. I think I've won myself over. But
well, it's the honesty of that process.
Yeah.
Of like being a part of and the audience feeling like, well, I think with you too, it's like big, terrific. Yeah, those people are not you. That's not you, but you are. I mean, I guess it's kind of unromantic to just like deconstruct what makes you great. But and that's something common with my friend May, where you're just so you want to hang out with you, you know,
like
you're just a such a likable, cool, quirky, pleasant person that the audience, who like kind of is the same people that push you in the crowd to see you stand up and like have these thoughts and gain that confidence throughout the set, or just have just be up there. Your material's hilarious. They feel like they are part of creating you, I guess, or like building you up.
Yeah. Maybe? I see that. Thanks.
I mean,
that's
it's
really nice
really
of you
not,
to say. Thank you.
That cool. I guess like there is something to, I did the show that I did on the weekend. I did stand up for the billionaires and then after there was a Q&A where they're like, well, what is humor? And it's just like, yeah, it's like having an orgasm and then being like, so when you touch the clitoris, yes. And so, well, sometimes it works, but you can't, it's not, you know, like you gotta.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Because I love whenever you're on stage. I really love it so much. It's just, it feels like a real party.
Word, we are doing it. We're trading goody things. We're both good.
But I think also I see whenever you're on stage, I'm like, oh my God, it's so great. Because you come on so confident. I love it so much. And do you feel like that's part of your secret?
To be 100% honest, I think what I'm starting to learn is that being present, like the flavor of the month in terms of like motivational comedy things is like presence, like being actually there, being actually and like thinking about what I'm saying and being excited about what I'm saying versus polishing words. And not, it was never one or the other, you know, it's always a balance. You can't, you know, there is an aspect of, I like doing bar shows and mics and whatever to just like wing it and not have pressure to make people laugh at a certain rate. But ultimately that's what we're doing, right? Like ultimately like we want to kill. I want to kill. So my thing, I think there's something about, I guess for you, what you're saying is it's the process of like people starting to believe in you over your set that it's going to be okay. And I know that I'm not making that much sense, but you'll start to see what I'm saying soon, guys. I always have a countdown of when people will start to understand what I'm saying. Soon, guys, be patient. The words will come together. But like I love doing jokes. I have, like, recently I've been talking about, like, being married and having a husband and just, like, playing with that moment where the audience is like, oh, my God, this girl doesn't know that she's gay. She's, like, so, like, acts so self-aware or whatever, but, like, she's married to a man. for the reveal. And I think your reveal is that, like, oh, no, honey, I've been doing this. I know how to make you laugh. We're going to get there. You know, your reveal is like, oh, my God, is this girl going to be able to handle being on stage for this amount of time? Like, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden you're like the funniest one there. And they're like, oh, shit. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. But I wish it was more of an act, I guess. But it doesn't. It never feels
well, that's the presence aspect then is like if it was more of an act. No, you don't wish it was more of an act.
I guess so. I do. I mean, I guess. Yeah, sometimes, because I feel like the first minute of everything, I'm always just like, well, this first minute is a wash. Let's get this. I just feel like I could just stutter for the minute and then be like, okay, that's over with. Now we're going to say words.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I think cause it's also tricky because I have a lot of, I produce a lot of shows where I'm the host. And hosting, not starting off confident, is just shooting yourself. It's just making things so much harder. It's like you're walking downhill to climb up a mountain.
But that's just who you are.
I guess so.
I guess that's another thing than like to borrow your father's craft of motivational speaking. I guess I was listening. that you have to own what you've got. Like, if you were to pretend, you know, if I was to use your system of like, oh, yeah, okay, so it's working for Joe. So I just go up there. I act like, I don't believe in myself, kind of. And then slowly over time, I do. It would be a disaster. Or I would, like, just really study you and mimic it but never be as good as you. Whereas you doing you and...
I guess, yeah, you gotta do you.
You gotta
do
you. You gotta do you.
Yep.
Gotta do
yep.
you.
Yep.
Gotta
yep.
do
yep.
you.
Yep.
Gotta do you.
Yep.
Gotta do you. That beat is available for purchase. Well, you know what that means. It's time to call our number two fan. Number two only by sequence. Not by, we'll find out. Maybe she might be the number one. She told me to warn her so that she could slip out of her office, but guess what? Jaleese don't got time for that. Jaleese interviewing. What do you think, we got interns?
Ooh. I'm so excited.
That character is available for purchase as well. We're selling everything. Everything must go.
Everything's for sale.
All right.
Hello?
Dana. We've been playing Drake's trophies, Drake's yeah. song trophies on repeat for you today. Today is your episode.
This is a dream.
I mean, are you shaking?
A little bit. A little nervous. Is that weird?
No, we were just talking about nerves. My guest today is Joe Firestone, who is, I was going to say a vibrator, but she also, like, you know, she's a nervous little lady. If you listen to the podcast, you might find out something about a poop in a bag.
Aye.
Shout out to Kia. my questions for you today don't need to be prefaced. Okay. I could just start asking them, I guess. Mm. Where do you work?
I do environmental consulting right outside of Philadelphia.
Wow. Ooh, a real American.
It's not that cool, I swear.
Wait, what is your day... go like? The people call you from the environment and say, what should we do with these trees? And you're like, put them there! Put them right there!
It's not even that cool. They fly me out to the worst places ever. So, like, the middle of Arkansas. That's where I was last week.
Whoa!
And, yeah. It's actually, I was at the home of Walmart.
The home of Walmart.
It's an interesting place, yeah.
Do they champion Walmart there, like in Orlando with Disney, or are they kind of, they get who they are?
What's that?
Do they love Walmart in the home of Walmart?
Yeah, it's mostly rich business people, which you wouldn't expect when you're going to the middle of Arkansas. But
yeah, but Walmart's like their oil.
Yeah.
They fly me out places, and I do inspections, and I come back, and I write up reports.
Okay, so what are you inspecting, then?
I'm trying to figure out a plan B.
Wait, no, this sounds pretty cool. I think it sounds like you're not into it, though, so to each their own, but... let me know when I can apply.
But Dana, can I tell you something? I just went on a tour of an environment with a lot of birds, and I thought maybe that could be a cool job if you're looking for maybe a switch, but maybe focus more on birds.
Did you hear that? So it's a she toured. So Joe, why don't you grab this phone here?
Okay.
And just point it at your microphone.
I don't know if I'm hearing.
Hi, sorry, Dana. So I just wanted to mention that I just went on a tour of bird habitats, and there was this woman there whose job it was to tell us about the birds. And I thought, I was thinking if anyone has related experience, that might be a cool job to have.
That actually sounds great.
Birds.
You want to help me out with that?
I mean, I would help you. I mean, these birds, can I tell you, they do this thing called colonial nesting, where they take care of each other's babies, even if they're different breeds.
That's awesome.
They're lesbian birds.
I'll have to hang out all day and talk about that. That's a lot better.
But it's great. Here, hold on. I'm going to give you back to
Sabrina. Dana, what do you actually want to do? Because you listen to this podcast, so clearly you're a maniac. Clearly you are a monster just like us. I call all my fans monsters. and also, how did you stumble upon the podcast?
Well, I listened to Nikki Glaser's podcast.
Oh, awesome.
And, but I found that through her co-host, Anya Marina. So I listen to her music, so that's kind of how I stumbled upon
it. Oh my god, I love the World Wide Web. Shout out to both of those people. If you Google it, you will not regret it.
Okay, cool. So, and she's hilarious.
I guess if I was to call you a year from now, or even half a year from now, do you think that you'll have made a switch, or do you think that you've got to ride this? I mean, like, it sounds cool. Like, they're flying you out places, airport bars.
I complain a lot. It's not horrible. But it's not what I want to do for the rest of my life, so currently trying to figure that out.
Okay. Well, we support you in this time.
Thank you.
We are doing this podcast just for you.
You guys are the best. I can't wait to hear trophies playing in the background.
Yeah, so... So I don't know why I'm getting so nervous to talk to you now, but... I feel nervous now.
Am I nervous? I'm radiating through the phone. Is that a problem?
No, I just feel like I really need you to keep listening. but I also feel like I need to present like this outer shell that I don't care. But really, I really need you out there.
Maybe more interesting stuff than my job, you know?
What'd you say?
I want to hear about your love life.
We can talk about more interesting stuff.
Okay, yeah. So before we let you go, what are some coolly interesting things? Who are you doing sex with?
Say what?
Who are you doing sex with?
Sex with?
Yeah, like who do you do sex with? Do you do sex with anyone?
In general or just anyone right now?
I mean, I'd say start with in general and then pierce it to the specific.
Obviously not straight.
Yes. Oh my god, does everybody that listened to this podcast, oh my god, I've been making lesbian content without knowing it.
I thought that was a given, right?
Well,
I want to get like stats on, I want the ratio of like, I mean, straight people to non-straight people that listen to this podcast.
Yes, please write in if you've ever touched a penis and are a woman. Because I will consider you straight. Because, frankly, we need it for the advertisers. We need... that's awesome. Dana, I think I'm going to write, like, a better L word. That's a good one, right?
Oh, you should.
What's that?
You know the show The L Word?
Yes.
I don't know why I made... Is it offensive to go, doy? Like, I don't think anyone's like, hey, I'm a doy. so that's something I'm doing.
This girl from my high school was on The Real L Word.
My friend, too. One of my best friends, Kiyomi McCloskey. Who was your friend?
Her name is Claire...
Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable.
What is her name? Claire...
Voyant.
Claire Voyant. These are all old maid cards.
Okay, you haven't answered who you're doing sex with specifically, though.
Nobody right now. I'm taking a long break. Girls are nuts.
Girls are nuts, but so are guys. Everybody's crazy.
Everyone's
You'll find a hottie.
Crazy. I think that's what it comes down to.
You'll find a hottie, and Tinder must be cool now. Because otherwise you only found lesbians that are, like, at a bar, at the lesbian night at a bar, which is, like, really narrows it down. But I feel like there's more ways to, you know?
Is it true? It's also hard to tell who's gay when you're out sometimes.
Tinder.
Tinder.
But Tinder.
Well, that's the thing about Tinder, too. so many people that I already know are gay from Tinder. That's another perk.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So cool. Gossip.
Wait, you found out who you already knew was gay? What would you
say? Yeah, so like people that I had worked with, things like that, like would come up on, like girls would come up on Tinder.
And you're like, hey, Janet. Hey, Jan. I got your number, Jan. That would be a funny situation of like a young person that's totally okay with their sexuality just really attacking and menacing an older person that wants to keep it on the down low. I'll let it all come loose, Jan.
That's definitely happened before.
Well, God bless Jan. And God bless you. And I hate to bring God into this because I barely even know if he's there. But what's the word on God? You think he's there? You think he's there and you think he's a man?
Great question.
Do you think God's there and do you think he's a man?
I don't know. I don't think about it too much. I went to Catholic school and they kind of just like beat it out of me, you know what I mean?
Beat it into you. Out of you. Oh, the passion was lost.
Yeah.
It's like loving porn and then having to watch too much of it. Why did I say that?
It was way too much.
Okay. So Dana, maybe we should find you a girlfriend through this podcast if there are so many lesbians.
That would be a great thing.
Yeah.
Tell them to all tweet in.
Sorry?
Can you tell them to all tweet in?
To tweet in. I thought you said something about Sweden, and I'm like, now you're getting a little boutique with your wishes. We'll find you a Swedish lesbian if they're available. If you are, in fact, lesbians, show yourselves. We've got a cutie little Dana out there in St. Louis.
Philadelphia.
She chilling with that cream cheese.
South Jersey. It's a ways away, but.
South Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in South Jersey?
Yeah, near outside of Philly.
Outside of Philly. I don't know. No. See, I'm Canadian, so really this is just a hodgepodge of brand names you're throwing at me. Nike, Adidas. Where are you? Converse.
Colorado.
Okay. All right. So in that area, in the meantime, Dana. I have the pleasure of telling you, you just won 2 free tickets to mostly any show that I have. So let us know when you're in New York. I am never there usually, but you know, you never know what could happen.
Let me know.
Okay.
But, hey, I'd come up to New York. We're not far.
Come up to New York and maybe we can podcast. Oh, you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe we'll get someone. But if there's a lesbian in New York, that's DTF, down to frankly meet someone, then maybe we can arrange a mashup here. One thing for sure.
Lesbian podcast.
Yes, Doug. Sounds awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for calling in. But mostly, thank you so much for the environment.
Oh, that's good.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
You should sign off all your podcasts like that.
She's was cool. And then you know what I thought? I thought, oh my God, what if she has a crush on me? Because she, and then I was like, I have a crush on her. I'm like, I have a wife. I can't do that. And then I couldn't talk anymore. And then I was like, I cannot lead this girl on. I am so nerd times with this kinds of things.
Oh.
Like my wife has tattoos, doesn't care about anything. But I'm always like really scared that I'm like, everyone's attracted to me and I'm in a relationship with them. Joe, are you singies?
Yeah, recently.
Are you ready to mingies?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, if you're interested in Dana experiment, that could be
great.
That. If alternatively, you have a show. Yeah, you were saying you went through a breakup at Big Terrific, right?
Yeah, I went through a breakup. I got dumped.
Fuck that.
It happens. I just went to visit my grandparents, and they have a rule against negativity.
Really?
Like, they're very strict about it. And I was like, they were asking about it. And I was like, yeah, I got dumped. It feels kind of bad. And they're like, you can't say dumped. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, you can't say dumped.
You've got a new opportunity to meet.
You're like, my grandma was like, he did you a favor.
Yeah, he did.
I know, but
that's the truth. But it's sometimes you just want
to
like, you know.
It's hard to say.
Eat some pizza in your brain. Yeah. Eat some pizza in your brain and just sit there. Eat some pizza in your brain and just sit there. It's the end of the podcast, but that doesn't mean you have to move to sit with the blanket and just do stairs.
Dove.
Oh my God, Dove, fresh air. Dove, Dove, fresh air. You know you want it, and you want to clank it all over your body.
I think I just laughed for, how long was this? I think I just laughed for 50 minutes. I don't think I said anything. I'm so sorry, but
50 minutes too long. Goodbye, internet.
Loved it.
Stone cold.
All right, well, I listen to this podcast. I'm obviously not straight.
Yes!
And I'll go fooling around and chasing old mistakes. You'll be screaming out for more when I'm halfway out the door someday.